And now, right across Australia, it's time for the Back Nine with Larry Canning and Steve Anderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Back Nine. My name's Steve Anderson. I'm here in the studio with Larry Canning. Larry, hello to you.
Hello to you too, Stephen, and good morning, listeners.
I hope your golf's good this weekend, wherever you're playing. If you'd like to talk to us on the Back Nine, best thing to do is go to the Back Nine page at 2gb.com, click on feedback, little icon there, and tell us what's on your mind in the world of golf. Larry, coming up, we're going to be chatting with Richard Fellner. Richard's the editor of Inside Golf, a magazine you write for, and Richard's a bloke who isn't short of an opinion.
He's got lots of opinions, and he knows lots about lots of things. He's as editors go, he's one of the best, I would say.
One of the best in the business, and we're going to catch up with Richard Fellner from Inside Golf in the program in just a little while. Also going to talk with Bob Shearer. Gee, Bob Shearer is one of the greatest golfers Australia's ever produced. I was thinking about Bob before we came on.
We don't talk about Bob a lot, do we, in Australia anymore?
He's very low-key. He's a mate of yours.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Has been for a long time, so you say. He says it differently, but he's a quiet achiever, isn't he, Bob?
Absolutely. He's a lovely guy and has won 28 tournaments worldwide. So he's been around and I would say probably one of the best strikers of a golf ball I had ever played with back in the 80s and 90s. A superb striker.
He still plays as well.
Still plays a fair bit on the senior stuff, yeah.
And one of the main reasons we're talking to Bob today is because he actually played in the Masters.
He has played a couple of Masters, yes, and I think he was in contention there in one of them. Knows Augusta National backwards, Stephen. The Masters is on next week, as we know. And he's also designs and builds golf courses. So I'd like to talk to him about Augusta National Golf Course and his views on the actual layout and why Australians haven't won there yet.
What's your view? What's your theory? Why hasn't an Australian won there?
Unlucky.
Yeah?
Hello,
Greg Norman.
Yeah. Well, we've had a lot of chances, but no one's converted. Greg Norman's the classic example, isn't he?
Yeah.
Craig Parry also was leading into the last round there one year. Stuart Appleby was leading into the last round. Greg Norman's led in nearly every time he played in it. Just couldn't get across the line. I don't know, Steve. I don't know what the answer is. And maybe the actual golf club itself, I think it's fairly pomp and ceremonial and snooty and, you know, very exclusive, isn't it? Maybe the Australians aren't comfortable in that environment.
Well, maybe Bob Shearer's got a different theory altogether.
I'm sure everyone's got a different theory to that.
Yeah, we'll talk to Bob Shearer about the Masters when we talk with him later in the Back Nine. Larry, you've got a tip of the week ready to go. What does it relate to? Without giving too much away right now, just tell us the subject.
Just the word rotation, Stephen.
Rotation and a fantastic new product that you're going to talk about as well.
Got it right here, Steve. It's an absolute beauty. That's my ball.
That's my ball.
That's a little sniff.
He's holding it up so you can see it, listeners. He still can't get his head around that idea that radio, people listen, but they can't see anything.
I feel better if I'm holding it. I just feel I can explain it better if I've got it in my hand, Stephen.
Yeah, that's my ball.
I'm going to put it down now. Cool.
Larry's review of
That's
My Ball,
put it down again,
coming up later in the Back Nine. Now, on a serious note, wanted to talk briefly about Jared Lyle, because it's a sad story. Fantastic player, a young dad, and unfortunately going through a tough time yet again. What's the story?
It's leukemia. He had it when he was a 17-year-old kid, and we all know about that. He fought it and got through it. I guess you can't get this at a good time, but gee, he just got his US Tour card back, just had a child, and everything was looking rosy. He apparently felt like he was bitten by a spider. He was playing in Mexico, and it felt like he just was feeling off colour because of that. Went back to Australia to have it tested, had some blood tests done, and it's leukemia again. I don't know the actual clinical term for it, but he's got a battle again. He's got a really tough battle in front of him.
Yeah, chronic myeloid leukemia is what it's called.
Okay.
And it's a cancer that affects the blood and bone marrow as well. So, as I said earlier, he's a great player. I can remember watching him. I can't remember which tournament it was, but following
him. It's the Australian Open at Royal Sydney. Yeah. I was there with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gee, he was a good
Beautiful
player to watch.
Beautiful player to watch,
isn't he? Yeah. So, best wishes to Jared and to his family. Mate,
yep.
Hope things improve. Hope things turn out for the best for you, because we want to see you back on the golf course.
Absolutely.
ASAP.
Yeah, too good a player, too nice a guy.
Let's see what's happening. Speaking of golf courses on the tour.
And now on the Back Nine, it's time for the Tour Wrap. Thanks to Grace. Ensure that you can find what you need when you need it easily.
Yeah, of course, Larry, last weekend, the Transitions Tournament in Florida. Now, tell me, answer me this question. After that tournament, who would you rather be, Luke Donald or Ernie Els?
Oh, wasn't it terrible? Ernie, good grief. He's still not exempt for the Masters coming up in a couple of weeks. And
what's the story? What happened?
I still think there's a chance he could get a special invitation because there was
Before we get to that, Larry, what happened?
I said, all right, geez. What happened? Okay, there was a four-way playoff, Stephen.
Tell us the story, and Luke Donald, then we'll predict the future.
Sang Moon Bay and Robert Garrigus were all in the clubhouse at 13 under. Ernie Els had a three-foot putt. In fact, Ernie was leading by a stroke with two holes to go. He bogeyed the 17th and then bogeyed the 18th and fell out of the playoff. Had he have won, of course, he would have been in the Masters. And that's what we're all talking about, Ernie not being in the Masters. It's world news. It's insane that he's not in it.
Yeah.
And by not winning this, he's now got one tournament left to get himself a start.
So that one shot was the difference that one putt, difference between him winning number one and getting into the Masters.
If he'd got into the playoff, I think he probably would have gone okay with his experience.
Yeah.
You know, there's some. Well, having said that, Luke Donald and Jim Furyk are fairly experienced, but I just had a feeling Ernie was he was playing better than all of them, and I thought if he was going to win or just all win in the playoff. I just never thought he was going to not even get a start in the playoff. That meant he actually came fifth, Steve, of course. He tied fifth.
Yeah.
With five other blokes. So.
How many years is it since the Big Easy, as we like to call Ernie? He hasn't been there.
A long time. I can't remember a Masters that he hasn't been in. It must be 15 years or something, Stephen.
Now we can get to your prediction.
It could be 20 years.
You think that they will
invite him? I think they might still invite him because Ryo Ishikawa got an invitation and he actually qualified by his own merit through coming second at that golf tournament a couple of weeks ago in the States. So he was ranked bet 53 or 4, which meant he wasn't invited because he got up in the top 50. And when he ran second in that, he jumped up to 47, which meant the invitation was no longer needed. So I figure they're going to give that to Ernie.
Yep.
And that would just be nice. And I need just to make sure that I need to ring someone. I've got to make sure that happens. I want Ernie in there.
All right.
I've got some pretty close friends over at Augusta.
That's another one of your campaigns for 2012.
used to work on the green staff there.
The big easy for Augusta. Larry's onto it. Now, we mentioned Luke Donald, or I mentioned him earlier on. A good weekend for him because he reclaimed, with the victory, reclaimed the number one spot in the world rankings.
Isn't he an extraordinary player, Luke? He doesn't do anything exceptionally brilliantly, does he? Doesn't hit the ball a million miles. Isn't the world's greatest iron player. He's just the most complete golfer on the tour. And having, you know, he was number one, obviously, for must have been nearly 18 months. Lost it to Rory. Now he's got it back. He really deserves it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He really is the complete golfer.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what the game of golf is all about, isn't it? Whether you're playing off a 27 handicap or if you're the world's number one, it's about that consistency. That's what gets you there, isn't it?
It's a bit boring, though, isn't it? I like to talk about someone who smashes or just goes off their head or puts the nuts or the dots, I should say. Office. And he just doesn't do any of those. He just does it all really well.
But he is the world's number one, and congratulations on reclaiming that spot, Luke Donald, from Rory McIlroy. This is the Back Nine. We'll be back with more in just a moment. This is the Back Nine on 2GB. If you'd like to get in contact, go to the Back Nine page at 2GB.com. Click on feedback and tell us what's on your mind. In our introduction to the program this morning, Larry, we spoke about Richard Fellner, the editor of Inside Golf, and exactly how much he knows about the game, which is a huge amount.
He knows everything about the game, yes, definitely. And he's one of the nicest editors I've ever, ever met.
Well, he's on the line. Richard Fellner from Inside Golf, good morning.
Morning, and quit sucking up, Larry.
Yeah. I promise I'll be on time next month. I promise.
We should say something about the fact that one of your regular columnists is Larry Canning, shouldn't we, Richard? And that's why he's being so kind to you.
I wouldn't necessarily call him regular. I mean, he writes every month, but there's no way he's regular.
I'm regularly late.
That's it.
Richard, you'd be looking forward to the Masters, no doubt.
It's the best time of the year. I love when we get near April and we can think about that beautiful music that comes on and the azaleas on TV. It's, and some of the best golf in the world. It's just fantastic.
It's an extraordinary golf course, isn't it, Richard? I mean, Augusta just seems to bring out some exciting finishes every year. And I'm on the edge of my seat every time I watch it there.
Now, it really is. I mean, there's, you know, there's some great holes there. It's world class. It's just one of the most exciting courses that are out there.
What about, we were talking earlier on about Australia's lack of success at the Masters and a couple of theories floating around about exactly why. Do you have a theory on it? Do you know why, or in your opinion, why you think Australians haven't done well there?
That's just the question that has bugged us for years and years. I mean, I don't think anybody really knows why. I don't think it's a pressure thing. I think, you know, that our guys have... they all have the game and everything like that.
Well, it's not like they haven't had their chances.
Oh, I mean, Norman and Scott and Day, I mean, we've been there. I think we just haven't closed the door, haven't gotten it done. We should be. I think at a recent forum, Jack Newton said, we should be winning over there, because we have the game, and, the course would actually suit Australians. So who knows? We haven't won.
Is there a particular Australian you think that might suit more this year, Richard?
That's always hard. But look, I reckon if you look at last year's performances, we can look at Scott and Day. They have the game for it. They proved that, and it's not like they choked or anything last year. They just didn't get it done. If you look at ball striking, I still think that John Sinden, he's got the game for that course. He just needs to get the putting, and of course, that's the hard part about Augusta is putting on those greens.
Yeah, when we talk about putting, Australians and putting, we talk about Aaron Baddeley, don't we? And he's got to be one of the contenders.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he's been working hard on his short game. We just interviewed him for this upcoming issue, and this year he goes into it a bit different than he did last year. Last year he had just qualified; he kind of had to scramble. Because I think he'd won the Northern Trust at Riviera in February, so I had to scramble to practice. But this year, he's been in it since last year, so he's been able to work on his short game and being able to prepare the way that he wants for the short game and those shots around Augusta.
What about your thoughts on Tiger? We do talk a lot about Tiger Woods, but he is one of the greatest ever, if not the greatest ever. What are your thoughts on him at this point in time?
Look, I think he comes off an injury. Nobody really knows how bad it was. And at this Tavistock Cup, he evidently didn't show any signs of it. So he's always a chance in there. The funny thing is that we do our staff picks for the tournament, and he actually shows up as a dark horse. So it would probably be the first time in history that someone would have Tiger Woods as the long shot to win the tournament.
Wow, who's picking him as that? What crazy guy was? Wasn't you? Was it Richard?
No, it wasn't me. I think it was Mike Korhoff. It's interesting. It just shows how the tide has kind of turned a bit, because now people are looking at, obviously Rory McIlroy and, Phil Mickelson's and, all of that. And they're not really looking at Tiger as a foregone conclusion, but look, he's got the game. I reckon he will win at least a couple more majors in his tournament. He should, whether or not he gets it done, who knows, but I think he probably will.
This golf course just screams for another Tiger victory, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and so do the crowds.
Yes.
They're all just begging for it.
Yeah.
You mentioned talking to Aaron Baddeley in the upcoming Inside Golf, but you're also talking with Jared Mosley about his return to golf.
Yeah, we actually played around with him, Sam Arthur and David Newberry from Inside Golf, and they played with him in a pro-am. And, he has been out of the game for quite a while, and now he's just coming back. And it's really good to see. He had some issues, and then he also had the kids. He had twins, and so now he's coming back into the game. And it's very exciting to see people like that coming back. He edged out what was it, Ernie Els, Longer, and Peter Lawnard, at the Heineken Classic. He had the game back then, so it's good to see him coming back.
Yeah, it was a bit controversial finish at the Australian PGA at Coolum that year too, wasn't it? When it got dark, he and Lawnard were playing off. And they finished up just awarding it to both of them, didn't they? It was unusual.
I think that's right. So
he knows how to win, doesn't he?
He does. Well, I think it was in 2002. He had, six top 10 finishes. So he was up there. So he's ready to have another crack. It'll be good. Hopefully, he can bring it back.
Where will he start? Obviously, the Australian Tour, but does he have any exemptions anywhere else to play?
Well, he doesn't have a card. He's hoping to get some starts on the One Asia Tour.
Okay.
And see how he goes. And then his goal really is to get back to the European Tour.
Right.
And he'll get through to the second stage of Q School there because he has one on the tour.
Right.
So, that's the European Tier School.
Yep.
All right, Richard, thank you very much for your time. It sounds like a great issue coming up. A few other things as well. You've got Kari Webb talking about designing an Olympic golf course.
Yeah, very, very exciting. it was a great, great interview with her. You know, she worked with Thompson Parrott, and, you know, they made it to the eight finalists. Although they didn't win out, we got some really good insight from her on designing a course for women. You know, a lot of times a course is designed where they just have, you know, their set of tees. They'll design it from the back tees, and then they'll put, you know, the members' tees and the ladies' tees forward of that. But it doesn't really help or hurt the women because it doesn't give them the kinds of shots that they need to play.
Changes the holes, doesn't completely. I mean, changes bunkers and hazards and.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Whereas, you know, the ladies might be hitting a driver and then a mid iron. Now they hit like a driver wedge, and it takes out certain things. So it's got some really good insight in that article.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much, Richard. You've also got a bit about Bryden McPherson, his preparations for Augusta, something about corporate golf in New South Wales, and there's a bunch of instruction, as you say, that's not from Larry Canning.
That's exactly right. we have the humor stuff from Larry, but no instruction.
Does it actually make any sense at all this month?
I'll just
say no.
My job is it's not supposed to. That's my job, isn't it, Richard?
That's exactly right.
Good on you, Richard. Thanks for your time, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Richard Fellner, the editor of Inside Golf, and it's all coming up. It's a great publication, Larry.
Oh, it's Australia's most read publication, golfing publication.
Yeah,
Steve.
You can pick it up for Nick's at your golf.
Despite the fact that I'm in it.
Despite the because you're in it, Larry.
Yeah, okay.
This is the Back Nine. More in a moment. Good morning and welcome back to the Back Nine on 2GB. If you'd like to talk with us, 2GB.com, go to the Back Nine page and click on feedback. Larry Canning, time for what's always a highlight. Let me build this up a little bit. It's always a highlight of the program, I got to say. Do you think it is?
Oh, I'm very excited about what I'm about to say.
Yeah, I know a lot of people get excited about it. Here it is.
And now on the Back Nine, it's time for Larry's Tip of the Week.
Nah, they don't get that excited, really.
I've got to calm myself down. I'm
people
so
are still,
excited.
Still making their cups of tea. They're still driving their cars. They haven't pulled over to the side of the road. But this is a very interesting part of the program. And today it's about rotation, Larry.
It's about, yes, Stephen, it's the correct body turn. Now, a lot of us think that the backswing is just a turn of the entire body to the right, and then if you're a right-hander, and then back to the left if you're on your follow-through. But the backswing is more about, or body rotation is more about building up torque, building up some pressure, so some coil, so you can recoil and fire through the golf ball. Now, the best way to do this, Steve, or probably before I go to the best way, one of the worst tips I've heard is someone trying to turn their hips on the backswing. And it just, as I said, it just takes all the pressure out of the backswing. The whole body turns, and you don't have enough torque to recoil and hit it. So the best thing to do is keep your hip where it is. Keep your right hip, or feeling like your right hip where it is. So as you turn your shoulders, feel like they're turning against your hips. The backswing should feel like you're a human spring connected to the ground, connected to something. So you turn the top of the spring and let it go, and that's how you get maximum recoil. And in this case, one of the best tips I got was to feel like my right knee, which relates to the right hip, my right knee was pointing at the same point during the entire backswing. It doesn't give away to the right, and that'll hinder my hip turn a little bit, which will enable my shoulders to turn against my hips like a spring, and then I can just let it all go through the ball.
So forget about your hips. I mean, they are part of the process.
They will turn automatically, but don't try and turn them. Just let them be turned. And in fact, if you resist them turning, you actually build up more torque, and you can actually hit it harder. And you're in a better position too, Stephen. You find it a lot easier to return the club to the ball consistently if you don't turn yourself inside out.
Yeah. It goes back to what, I can't remember his first name, the Glazier, the fellow we spoke with the other week, the mind coach, the mental coach.
Yes.
Yes.
Jamie.
Jamie Glazier. Was talking about keeping your mind as clear as possible.
Yeah,
focusing
yes,
on,
absolutely,
on
nothing to do with that
about.
Whatsoever. But good point, Stephen.
So forget about your hips. Swing them when you're on the dance floor.
Exactly.
Don't worry about them on the golf course.
Precisely.
This is the Back Nine. News is coming up, but we'll be back with more after the news.
Macquarie National News at 5:30. Good morning. I'm Lachlan Mantell. Anna Bligh has conceded defeat in a landslide win by the LNP in the Queensland state election. Labor will likely be left with just 7 seats in the 89-seat parliament, while the Liberal National Party is on track for an unprecedented majority of 78 seats. Bob Catter's Australian Party is predicted to take two seats, with the remaining two going to independents. The Greens aren't expected to win any. Ms Bligh says despite a massive swing against Labor, she's proud of her achievements in office.
We have built a platform that has catapulted Queensland into the 21st century. So as we confront this very, very difficult result tonight, I want us to remember that it was our Labor government that steered Queensland through the global financial crisis, that kept jobs, protected jobs and created jobs.
In a statement, Julia Gillard has congratulated Campbell Newman for his victory, but says Ms Bligh was an excellent Premier who worked hard to deliver reforms. While the Prime Minister will join other world leaders for major nuclear security talks this week in South Korea, the Nuclear Security Summit will focus on how to keep terrorists from getting their hands on nuclear material amid concern about arms programs in Iran and North Korea. Julia Gillard will fly to Seoul today for talks with the US President Barack Obama and the leaders of 50 other nations. Police have stopped a car in Western Sydney being driven by a young girl with her dad allegedly in the passenger seat. Officers were called to the streets of Riverston at about 5:30 yesterday afternoon following reports of an 11-year-old driving. Constable Lauren Shuttleworth says the girl's father will face court for permitting an unlicensed driver to drive.
Police have pulled over a vehicle allegedly being driven by an 11-year-old girl in Sydney's West. Yesterday, police received information that a young girl had been seen driving a vehicle in the streets of Riverston. Police stopped a Toyota Land Cruiser four-wheel drive in Carlton Street, Riverston, and allegedly found an 11-year-old girl in the driver's seat.
One person has died and dozens of people have been injured in riots in the Egyptian city of Port Said after the local football club was banned. The BBC's John Lyon reports.
The trouble broke out after the Egyptian Football Association announced its decision to suspend the Al Masry team from the league. Fans besieged a government building. Police then fired in the air. One person, reported to be a 13-year-old boy, was killed. During the original clashes in February, fans swarmed onto the pitch at the final whistle, chasing and attacking players and supporters from the visiting Cairo team Al Ahly. The home fans have always denied they were responsible. They claim hired thugs infiltrated the crowd, and they believe not enough police were deployed for the game.
And briefly, police are on the hunt for thieves who stole five guns and cash from a home safe near Wagga Wagga yesterday. In sports, St George Illawarra's NRL resurgence claimed its biggest scalp, with the Dragons handing Manly back-to-back defeats with a 17-6 victory at Kogra. Down 12-0 at the break, the Sea Eagles got back to within one try of the lead, despite playing with a depleted pack. Dragons coach Steve Price says he's glad to have his side back on track. The Titans have suffered an embarrassing 26-6 loss to the New Zealand Warriors at Mount Smart Stadium. Titans skipper Scott Prince has told Fox Sports it's a disappointing loss.
Turnover, cheap possession. You give any team opportunities in your half, you know, they're going to hurt you. So I'd have to say it's probably definitely one of the top pointers that was disappointing tonight anyway.
While Cronulla have beaten the Cowboys 20-14 at Dairy Farmers Stadium, and Shane Smeltz's become the highest goal scorer in A-League history, bagging four goals in Perth Glory's 4-2 triumph over Melbourne Victory. This is Macquarie National News. It's 26-6.
2GB weather, thanks to Taste. European design for all. See tastelliving.com.au.
Sydney's weather, the chance of light showers today, tops of 22 on the coast, 23 in the west. Further ahead, morning showers tomorrow. Right now in the city, it's 15 degrees, humidity at 72%, winds from the south-southwest at 20 kilometres an hour. It's 8 at Katoomba. I'm Lachlan Mantell, that's the latest Macquarie National News.
You're listening to The Back Nine, right across Australia, with Larry Canning and Steve Anderson.
Good morning and welcome back to The Back Nine. My name's Steve Anderson. Larry Canning's here. Good morning once again, Larry.
G'day, Steve, and g'day, listeners.
Now, your tip just before the news made a big impression on one particular listener. Brian from Doonside loved it, but he said, is there any way that he can practice the whole rotation
thing
when he's not on the golf course, when he's at home?
Absolutely. There's a fantastic drill, Steve, and you do it without a golf club in front of a mirror. This is going to sound a little bit strange, isn't it, now? But just you fully closed. Just take your golf stance. Have the mirror where you're actually feeling like you're hitting a shot towards the mirror. Full-length mirror is perfect, or just one in the bathroom is fine. Take your golfing stance. So put your spine on a slight angle. Put your hands across your shoulders and cross them over So your right hand on your left shoulder, left hand on your right shoulder, and then turn your shoulders against your knees and hips. Turn them as far as you can. Feel the pressure building up in your right quadricep, knee, hip, and then release it all the way through and follow through so that when you're looking back at the mirror, you can actually see yourself and your shoulders on the line pointing at the mirror.
Okay, do that. Do that a few times.
You can do that as many times as you want. And it's a good exercise. It's actually good for your core muscles, Steve.
You can have some music going in the background.
Sort of proud
you?
I just said that. Fully clothed, I'm saying, mate. You've got to have your shower after it.
Get the wah-wah pedal out, plug the guitar in, away you go.
I've got a horrible image of you doing this naked.
It's a good tip. It's a very good tip. I've got a horrible image of me doing it naked now, too. Go on, you, Brian. Thank you for your email. Don't forget, you can get in contact with us via the 2GB.com website.
I can't shake it. I can't shake this image.
2GB.com is where you go. You don't think about anything nasty. You just go straight to 2GB.com, click on the back nine page, go to feedback and let us know what's on your mind. And by the way, we've got a dozen balls for Brian. We've got the Callaway Hex Black Tour Golf Ball. It's a fantastic ball. You love it, Larry, don't you?
Oh, it's the best ball I've used ever, I think, Steve.
We've got a dozen of them coming your way. Brian, thanks for your email this morning. This is the Back Nine. When we come back, Larry, we're going to talk to one of the greats of the game in Australia, Bob Shearer.
You can get your clothes back on.
Well, I think you're going to get yours. You love Bob Shearer.
I do.
I'm a bit worried, actually.
I'm a massive fan of Bob Shearer.
Yeah, all right. We're going to talk with Bob Shearer when we come back with more of the Back Nine in just a moment. This is the Back Nine on 2GB. I'm Steve Anderson. With me in the studio, Larry Canning. Good morning once again. Bob Shearer, what can you say about Bob that hasn't already been said?
Oh, there's nothing I can say anymore. You'd be taking an AVO out of me if I keep telling everyone how good he is. I love playing with Bob Shearer because he was just this pure ball striker. And I used to try. I actually tried to play a bit like him.
All right, well,
didn't quite work.
Let's get him on the phone so he can talk about himself rather than you talking about him. Bob Shearer, good morning.
Morning, Steve.
G'day, Bob.
G'day, Larry. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks.
Yeah. Gee, Larry talks you up, but deservedly so, Bob. You're a great player, and those halcyon days of the 70s and 80s, mate, that must have been a good time for you.
They were a good time. I appreciate all those nice things you say about me, but no, they were the good times, I guess, when most players look back on their careers, I guess, say that the early times were good times.
Bob, you must look back, and there's a few other Australian great players that look back who haven't won a major. If you were to have a major, if someone said, here's a major, Bob, which one would you choose?
Oh, anyone. But really, probably the only real chance I had once was 78 in the British Open. So probably the British Open if I had a choice. But
yeah, you did play in a couple of Masters.
Yeah, four times there.
Actually. Four times, okay. The golf. I would have thought that golf course would have suited the way you played. Was there some part of the course you couldn't play, or is it just the?
Well, no. You know, it didn't suit me, actually, because I was a left to right player in those days, and you have to be able to turn it right to left at Augusta, so I had to keep it close to the trees on the left, off the tees. And
you could draw the ball, though. I've seen you draw it.
Yeah,
just a bit. It was a bit harder to do than your natural fade, I guess.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure when it was going to happen either.
Okay. Jack Nicklaus won six times, and we all considered him a fader, didn't we?
Yeah, pretty straight ball striker, though, when it comes down to that. But, I mean, you're talking about the greatest. Well, if not the greatest, that close to it doesn't matter. But
yeah. You played a few times with Jack too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. He was my boyhood hero, and you finish up getting to play with him quite a few times.
What was it like the first time you played with the greatest golfer the world's ever seen?
Well, it was actually at the Australian, and I was pretty nervous. I finally got it on the tee, or got it to stay on the tee. And I proceeded to, in those days, the nines were around the other way.
Yep.
So the 10th was the first, and I proceeded to top it there.
Oh, really?
But it's a good hole to top it.
It's downhill. Now, the Shark did the same thing, didn't he, playing with Jack?
Yes, he did.
That's extraordinary. Now, you went on to win the Australian, was it that year?
No. I think I was still an amateur when I first played with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you played against Jack at the Australian.
Yes. Yeah.
In the last round, and I watched you that day. You probably would have seen me waving to you. Yeah.
Oh, I could be very rude and say no. Thousands of people.
Bob, take us back to you mentioned the four Masters you played in, but take us back to that first one. And do you have vivid memories of when you arrived at Augusta for the first time?
Oh, yeah, yes, I do. And Jack Nicklaus came into play there as well, but Kathy and I arrived the week before, on the Wednesday before, and I went out there on the Friday to play, and of course nobody knows who the heck you are, and in those days you had to have your own practice balls and all that sort of stuff, and I didn't know that. And anyway, I got the caddy, and I was in the pro shop talking and not getting too far, and next minute this voice said to me, do you want to have a game, Bob? And I turned around, it was Jack. So things changed a bit for me then. The pro gave me all the practice balls and
The
caddy, got the lot, everything. So.
So a bit about the golf course, Bob. You've built and designed many golf courses around the world, and the actual golf course. Do you know of a golf course like Augusta? And if you were designing, if someone said, can you design a golf course like it, would you even try?
Probably not. I guess the people that haven't been there, you look at a TV and you don't really get how hilly it is. It's really a up and down golf course. And the first thing I noticed playing there was that you get shin sore from walking up hills. And that takes a few days to sort of get rid of. But it's very hilly, which makes a lot of the iron shots to greens play longer or shorter, whether we're going downhill or uphill. So it's you have to know it.
Yeah, and a lot of subtleties, well, not so subtle, are that the greens are quite fearsome, aren't they, really?
Well, the first year I played, they still had the Bermuda greens.
Okay.
And they were just as fast, probably, but they were really hard. You couldn't stop on them. And then the second year I played, they changed to the Bermuda, from the Bermuda to the bent, which... I guess we have pretty fast greens here in Australia, but I guess Royal Melbourne's probably most famous for that. But boy, those things were, you know, even faster than that.
We've been talking this morning about why the Masters title has eluded so many great Australian golfers, and we were talking earlier on about the number of chances that various players have had. Do you have a view on it? Do you have an opinion on it or a theory as to why?
No, I don't, and I can't believe that someone over the years hasn't won it. Albeit, you know, Norman had the greatest chances, I guess. But my old mate Jack Newton had a bloody good chance that one year, but I don't know. We've had the players, and the golf course is not dissimilar to some of the, I guess, Sydney courses, some of the Melbourne courses. Bent grass greens and sort of lush fairways, we grow up on that. And I really don't know. We've had a lot of good players that do turn the ball right to left as well that's played there.
You made that point a couple of times. Now, who would you see if there was an Australian to win this one? Who would you see?
I always thought David Graham would have been the one.
Okay. What about this year, Bob?
This year?
Yep.
Well, obviously, we go down the list these days, and it's pretty long how the boys are playing around the world. But, you know, first name that comes to my mind is Jason Day.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he hasn't had a good start of the year, you never know. He'll be up for that, and his performances in the Masters, the Masters and the Majors last year.
Yep.
I think he'll be ready for it.
He's not scared of anything, is he?
I'd love to see Adam Scott do it, but... not sure that he's
one of the sleepers, Australian sleepers, I think, is John Sendon. A couple of guys have said, he could get past all the more famous Australians and be there on Sunday.
I agree with that. I agree. John's a terrific ball striker, and there again can turn a little bit right to left when needed. And yes, he's been playing pretty well. I guess it all comes down to that, you know. The Saturday and then the last day,
where
all of a sudden all that pressure of Australians not having one effort and that sort of stuff comes into play, I guess.
Yeah, well, no doubt it will unfold into yet another great event. Bob, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the back nine this morning, and hopefully you'll come back and join us again one day on air down the track.
Oh, I'd love to. Love to. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
Good on you, Larry. Thanks, Steve.
Bye, mate.
Bye.
Bob Shearer there, he's an absolute legend of the game in Australia, isn't he?
Yeah.
We should never forget about blokes like Bob and what they achieved for Australian golf back in the day.
That's right. 28 tournaments, as I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Good player.
I'll keep saying it, just the best striker. Wow, he just plays so nicely.
And he's got an opinion or two. Is there a golfer without an opinion?
No, not an Australian. No way.
This is The Back Nine. More in a moment. Good morning and welcome back to The Back Nine on 2GB. I'm Steve Anderson. Larry Canning, your product of the week is a beauty. This is a really simple idea.
Oh, it's simple and it's Australian, and I love both of those things, Stephen.
What is it?
It's called That's My Ball. Now, most tour professionals put a mark on their golf ball so that you can differentiate your golf ball from another player. And it's happened to everyone, I think. We've hit the wrong ball or someone's hit our ball because the markings we put on our ball are too similar. Put a little dot here or a dot there and someone else has the same dot and off you go. This product, Steve, differentiates your ball from any other because you put your own distinctly designed stamp which goes on the golf ball. It's a very simple procedure. You just remove the golf ball from a packet, take this That's My Ball out of the packet, remove this. It's really hard to explain on radio because I'm holding this thing and doing this.
As per usual.
You stamp the golf ball with whatever stamp you want. You can get any, there's 100 different options of stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can stamp it where you like. The ink actually is waterproof and it stays on the golf ball for the entire round. And I have here a ball that I use for 18 holes with the stamps on it. And you can see, Steve, and so can the listeners see how obvious those stamps are. It's a fantastic product. As I said, it's waterproof, and it'll stay on for the entire round, probably get a couple of rounds out of it. Now, That's My Ball, they retail for only $14.95, Steve, and that's the price of two golf balls.
It's an absolute steal. As you say, a lot of blokes get their Sharpies out and they've got all sorts of intricate markings that they put on the ball, but this is dead easy. The other great thing about it is it just fits in your golf bag.
Yeah, it's a very simple, it has a little chain, and you can hang it on the outside of your golf ball if you like, or put it in your golf bag. You can actually get your own motifs done too, Steve. You can have it personalised if you like. Just ring, email Caroline Streeter. Caroline is a very good golfer, in fact, and she created this invention. Email her on thatsmyball.com.au and she'll help you with if you want to get Steve or Larry or a photo of your kids or...
You'd want to get Bob Shearer on yours, wouldn't
Bob
you?
Bob Shearer on mine.
Photo of Bob Shearer.
Caroline can fix all that for you. She's a terrific lady and very creative. And as I said, she's a golfer and she's been a golfer for a long time. She understands the game.
Fantastic idea. Really well packaged.
Very simple.
Portable, the whole thing. It's got the lot. It's called That's My Ball. That website, once again, Larry?
That'smyball.com.au, Steve.
That'smyball.com.au, if you'd like to know more or talk to Caroline Streeter about That's My Ball and how good it is as well. Larry, we are rapidly running out of time. Of course, Masters Week coming up next week.
I'm looking forward to it, Steve. I love it. It's a funny tournament. It's the sort of tournament that I'm not really excited about, you know, the golf course and the club and the whole pomp and ceremony of it all, but it is the first major and I'm looking forward to an Australian finally getting over the line.
Yeah, let's hope one of them does. What's your favourite major?
The British Open.
Right. And you posed the question to Bob Shearer if he could choose any major. If someone said you can have a major title, which one would it be? If someone asked you the same question, would it be the British Open?
Absolutely, no doubt, yeah. It's the world event. It's the world, everyone can play, it's qualifying and there's thousands try and qualify for it. There's 150 players. If you win that British Open, you have beaten the best in the world. On the best golf courses in the world too. And you've actually had to work your golf ball in all sorts of different conditions, rain and wind, and hit it along the ground, low and or high, and make it stop. You know, it's the complete major. It has everything.
My only criticism of the British Open is that it doesn't look good on TV, does it?
Doesn't TV very televise very well, does it? No.
Yeah. I mean, you can understand if you know the game and know what a lot of those links courses are like, in particular, you know those subtleties. In real life, nothing like
exactly.
The
camera doesn't pick that up, does it?
Yeah.
No, it's not the most beautiful looking. They aren't the most beautiful looking golf courses, but they are The oldest and the best in the world. You're the best in the world if you win the British Open.
Yep, and you're going to be one of the best in the world as well if you win the Masters, really.
Oh, yeah, I'll take it. I would take a Masters, yes. Yeah. I wouldn't say no.
Yeah.
Here's a Masters, Larry. I'd say, yeah, I'll take that, thanks. Yeah.
Take that, yeah, and yep. Then you'd get straight on the phone. Bob, they've given me one. He'd be your first call, wouldn't he? Seriously. I'm going to have a word to you after
I've been in front of that mirror.
Yeah, you would. Bob, my rotation's fantastic, Bob. It really is. I've been practicing. Here, watch this. Send him a little video. I don't know. Larry, as per usual...
I have nothing else on with the green jacket.
No. Let's not go there. Yeah. Talk about horrible visions. Thank you, Larry. It's been a pleasure,
I think.
Thank
you, Stephen. Yes, I think it has been definitely a pleasure.
This has been The Back Nine, and we will be back with you with more of The Back Nine next Sunday morning.